You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection held another primetime hearing last night. The focus, what then-President Donald Trump heard, said, did, and didn't do in the hours on January 6th following his speech to supporters at the Ellipse. It was the eighth in a series of hearings by the committee. We learned that this will be the last one until they resume in September. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you watched or listened to this latest hearing, what stood out to you most? What questions do you have about it? If you're not watching them, are you following this in general? What do you think? Has this changed your mind in any way? Call 800-642-1234. And what do you want the outcome of all of this to be? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alyssa Von Hagel is professor of political science and the gender studies program coordinator at UW-Superior. Alyssa, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Before we dive into the details, Alyssa, big picture. I don't usually like to use the word unprecedented, but we have an unprecedented thing going on in American elections, a sitting president losing the election, saying he didn't lose the election, going through a wide variety of efforts to, I guess, lose it. Can you talk about this unique moment in American history that this committee is trying to capture?
Absolutely. I mean, you're spot on that this is truly, like, you know, unprecedented in our history. There's so much complexity surrounding all of the various aspects of it, so that adds to the remarkable nature of it all. But some point to the special hearings that were held, the Watergate hearings, when right before Nixon had resigned from office. But even then, they were very distinct hearings. And in that case, there was bipartisanship. Towards the end, Republicans convinced Nixon to resign. So the way that all of this is kind of unfolded has truly been a truly unprecedented point in American history.
And what stood out to you now from last night's hearing?
Well, there's a number of, you know, every hearing there's new, seems, bombs dropped, or perhaps that's not the proper way to say it. But there was, I think that, so there's two new witnesses that came forward. Both witnesses were White House employees who resigned that day of January 6th after what had happened. And they added more, you know, details and explanation as to what was going on in the White House. I think that what to me stood out is, well, there's many things that stood out, of course, but what to me stood out as one of the most remarkable aspects of the day is that for the, you know, for 3 to 4 hours, there was absolutely no contact from the sitting president, Donald Trump, to any law enforcement, military leadership at all. Whereas that call essentially came from Pence, from Vice President Pence. And so, you know, that to me is truly striking, that the sitting president, you know, seeing this unfold over hours and hours, took no steps to, you know, to deal with it, essentially. And it was the vice president who was making the calls, trying to, you know, have law enforcement respond to the actions at the Capitol.
We're talking to Alyssa Von Hagel, professor of political science at UW-Superior, looking at last night's hearing of the January 6th House Committee. You can join in with your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You just mentioned former Vice President Pence. We learned a little more about the situation he and his security detail faced in the Capitol on January 6th of 2021. This is from a White House security official. Note here that the audio was altered. This is an anonymous official altered the audio here to protect the official's identity. Here's a listen.
Members of the VP detail at this time were starting to fear for their own lives. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of very personal calls over the radio. So it was disturbing. I don't like talking about it, but there were calls to say goodbye to family members, so on and so forth. It was getting, for whatever the reason was on the ground, the VP detail thought that this was about to get very ugly.
And this, of course, we know they're part of the group of people in the Capitol were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." This particular audio suggesting that his security detail was fearing the worst at this point.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, I think this far out from the actual events that transpired, we kind of lose that memory of just the abject fear that so many people were facing and the violence that was taking place. And this is another reminder of, you know, how fearful and how violent, it was, the events were at the Capitol at this time. And truly it's horrific to think of, the Secret Service agents, or, whether it's members of Congress, their staff, were in similar precarious situations as well.
And the committee definitely emphasized what the president tweeted and when, and making the point that as the former vice president and his detail were facing this risk, President Trump had essentially tweeted that Pence was a coward, didn't have the courage to invent this power to stop the election. Do you see this committee trying to establish, I guess, culpability for the former president, whether in a legal sense or at least in a political sense?
I think with respect to the issue of Trump's response to the chance of hang Mike Pence and his complacency with and even seemingly support of that, those chants and potentially action, I think it's more of a political issue that, necessarily as a compared to a legalistic question. But certainly I think, it should, be a perhaps also an, perhaps an ethical or moral, issue as well, that in terms of his, support or at the very least complacency for, listening to, hearing this, and again, doing nothing in response to this.
Part of the question here has been on January 6th, to what extent was this just a protest that got out of hand versus part of a wider effort to block the outcome of the election? At the very end, the committee played audio from former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, convicted earlier today on misdemeanor charges of contempt for Congress, appeal expected there. But Mother Jones, the magazine, released some tape of him on October 31st, 2020. This is before Election Day, laying out to some people he worked with a roadmap for Trump and the election results. Here's what the House committee played last night.
And what Trump's going to do is just declare victory, right? He's going to declare victory. But that doesn't mean he's the winner. He's just going to say he's the winner.
The Democrats, more of our people vote early that count. Theirs voted mail. And so they're going to have a natural disadvantage, and Trump's going to take advantage of it. That's our strategy. He's going to declare himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm.
And he went on in more detail about how chaotic things could get in that scenario. So even before the election, this idea that there will be no accepting of an election loss. How does that fit into this wider narrative?
I mean, I think his predictions that were found in that recording, I mean, virtually all of them came to pass. They came true, essentially. And yes, as you mentioned, he mentioned revolution. He mentioned violence of, whether or not, if the violence will come sooner rather than later, if it will come immediately upon, the day after the election or January 6th, that he repeatedly made reference to this notion of violence. And so I think, again, it shows that there is, at some levels, at least among some of his allies had foreknowledge or believed that January 6th would very well become a day of violence. And certainly that is, again, proving that Trump was aware of or part of these schemes is, another totally different legal question. However, the fact that there were White House allies, individuals talking about this well ahead of time is deeply concerning.
We're talking right now about last night's hearing of the January 6th committee. UW Superior Political Science Professor Alisa von Hagel stays with us. And you could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Did you watch or listen to last night's hearing or catch up this morning? Have you been following these? Does watching make for a different experience, do you think? What do you hope is the outcome of all of this, if anything? Do you want to see charges filed? If so, against whom? Or do you want to see these done? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Elisa von Hagel, political science professor at UW-Superior, looking at last night's hearing of the January 6th committee. You could join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. What stood out to you last night? Are you following these things? Are you hoping that there is some kind of outcome, whether legal or a message that reaches the American people? If so, which ones? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring out a caller now. Jane is with us in Eau Claire. Jane, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Jane?
Oh, just that I've talked to several people who felt like they didn't want to get too emotionally involved in these hearings because they feel like we'll go through all of this, we'll have good evidence, and then nothing's going to happen at the end. So that's very frustrating. But as I watch it, I think, yeah, I think Trump and Rudy Giuliani and several of them should be brought up on charges.
Jane, thanks for the call. Elisa, Jane, hope something comes out of this, it sounds like, worried that it won't. What do you think?
Well, that actually falls in line with a poll that was just taken this past week, and with the majority of Americans finding that they do wish or do want charges to be brought in this particular instance, but only 28% believe that it actually will happen. So I think that feeling is in line with many Americans right now. And again, also the Department of Justice has been very slow moving and even investigating top officials or the former president. And so it does seem that as if, you know, for some people, it has been argued that, you know, some have argued that they seem to be sort of dragging their feet or not wanting to pursue legal charges against these individuals. However, again, they obviously still have time to do so. And with the things that have been uncovered over these hearings so far, there is increasing pressure to do so. So who knows, we may see some movement in the future, but certainly that is a very common concern amongst so many Americans.
That's on the legal side. Now, here's Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming appealing in her remarks, a political outreach, I think, to perhaps some of President Trump's supporters. This is from her remarks yesterday.
Here's the worst part. Donald Trump knows that millions of Americans who supported him would stand up and defend our nation were it threatened. They would put their lives and their freedom at stake to protect her. And he is preying on their patriotism. He is preying on their sense of justice. And on January 6th, Donald Trump turned their love of country into a weapon against our capital and our Constitution.
What, Elisa, do you think of that rhetoric directed, I think, at President Trump's supporters in this case?
All right, and I think that she is correct. And I would also add that, anything that has come up in these hearings, the bombshells that have been dropped from, numerous different individuals testifying, that there's a core group of Trump supporters that still do not waver at all with their support of the president. Certainly he does not have anywhere near a majority of support amongst Americans overall. And amongst Republicans, his support is declining. However, again, there are that core group of supporters where their support for him will not waver seemingly regardless of what comes up. And so it's, whether or not that group of individuals can be reached or can be this can be discussed with, I think, is at this point perhaps not the best political route to go. But certainly there has been perhaps some shift in the Republican Party among some individuals.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. Yes. So I liken this whole thing to a boater being out in front of a beach in Southern California, chumming the water. And they're throwing all kinds of chum in the water, and the sharks come in, and they attack the swimmers, and a few of the swimmers die, and others get bit. Not all the, this whole thing, what Trump did and all his allies, to me, reminds me of just that sort of scenario.
boater out there, chum of the water, and for anything that happened. I'd love to see Bannon in jail and most of Trump's henchmen, and I wouldn't lose any sleep if Trump himself spent some time in jail.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Elisa, members of the committee, definitely try to connect the dots to what President Trump said, did, and then didn't do on the afternoon of the 6th to the violent outcomes, as our caller says, like throwing chum in the water.
Absolutely. And I think even the efforts that the committee made to emphasize that Trump was repeatedly told by aides, by top-level officials, by his family members that there was no voter fraud, that he lost the election, that, you know, trying to, you know, tell him, impart upon him, you know, that this claim of voter fraud is simply not true. However, with the Steve Bannon, release of the Steve Bannon tape, or reviewing it now in this particular context, it seems as if that was sort of part of the strategy as well. And so I think the calls for violence is part of that, as the caller mentioned, the sort of chumming the waters. But certainly even just the emphasis on the voter fraud that continued from the day after the election through, well, even till today, is also part of that same activity.
We're talking to political scientist Elisa von Hagel from UW-Superior, looking at yesterday's January 6th House committee hearing. Back to your calls. Larry is with us now in Onalaska. Larry, hi.
Hi. Since the maybe the George W. Bush administration, we've had a situation which has been clearly demonstrated in these hearings of people in roles of leadership who are consciously and purposefully lying and misleading the public to their own ends. And we still have apparently a significant portion of the population knowing that these people are lying, knowing that these people have lied and have consciously attempted to manipulate them. But because whatever causes or programs they endorse are consistent with the views of those voters, they'll still vote for these people. And so these people stay in office, they stay in roles of leadership. I just wonder if the whole society is not being corrupted by the fact that we're consciously encouraging people to be dishonest.
Larry, thanks for the call. Lisa, big picture, Larry's worried about the corruption of our government, of our society, based on misinformation.
Absolutely, and I think that is a major issue today, especially with so many issues, not just this, of course, but issues related to climate change and the role of science and policymaking and the distrust or just simple non-belief in, you know, scientific studies, or whether it's vaccines or climate or what have you. And so I think that this is a very critical and crucial issue for the U.S. and the world in general, but specifically, it also pertains to this issue as well, where the truth doesn't really seem to matter. The facts are your facts, but they're not my facts, you know, so to speak. So I think it is a very, very crucial issue, and it's not something that's easily fixed or changed in terms of trying to encourage the proper channels to find to trust with respect to scientific information or just simple claims of information from public officials. So absolutely, it's a very critical issue that we need to address.
Larry, thanks for that call. I want to look ahead now. This committee is on break through August, but they're planning to come back in September. And here's Representative Liz Cheney kind of foreshadowing what's coming up.
Efforts to litigate and overcome immunity and executive privilege claims have been successful, and those continue. Doors have opened, new subpoenas have been issued, and the dam has begun to break. And now, even as we conduct our ninth hearing, we have considerably more to do. We have far more evidence to share with the American people and more to gather. So our committee will spend August pursuing emerging information on multiple fronts before convening further hearings this September.
Now, of course, we don't know what they have now and what they'll be working on over the next month. But Elisa, what What questions are on your mind that you think could be addressed in future hearings?
I think many of the individuals that have not yet testified and have been subpoenaed, some of whom have been held in contempt, perhaps they may have, you know, they may be able to have some of these individuals come in for closed depositions to get information from them. So that might be a critical part of the piece of the, you know, larger puzzle. There's a number of, I believe, 5 or 6 members of Congress that have been subpoenaed and have refused to participate. And so, again, perhaps, you know, there might be some involvement either of them or aides that may lead to, you know, new avenues or new information that was just simply previously unknown at this point.
Alisa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Alisa von Hagel, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin Superior. She talked with us today about the House January 6th committee's last hearing until September, that hearing in prime time last night. You can still share your thoughts, email ideas at WPR.org, and follow coverage of everything, all political news at WPR.org. We'll have coverage of state news, and we provide coverage from NPR as well at WPR.org. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, Congress is working on a Respect for Marriage bill aimed at protecting same-sex marriage in the event of a Supreme Court reversal of past rulings on the issue. We're going to take a look at the proposal and what it could change, and you can join in and tell us what you want to see Wisconsin senators do. They've both been talking about that issue in the news. Plus, we'll find out why women of color may face some of the biggest consequences of the end of Roe v. Wade after that U.S. Supreme Court ruling, and abortion bans kicking in Wisconsin and elsewhere. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.